السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام
سورة يونس آية 20 and 21 إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويقولون لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه، فقل إنما الغيب لله فانتظروا إني معكم من المنتظرين. وإذا أذقنا الناس رحمة من بعد ضراء مستهم إذا لهم مكر في آياتنا، قل الله أسرع مكرا، إن رسلنا يكتبون ما تمكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The ancient communities, and I mean by the ancient communities during the time of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were insisting that they want to see a physical sign from their prophets, material sign, not intellectual. Why? Because at that time, their reasons and their thoughts and their brains were not sophisticated. The brain becomes sophisticated when you are involved in knowledge. Knowledge is the food of the brain. So if someone is primitive, primordial, does not read or write, does not get involved with intellectual stuff, his or her brain would remain very basic, very simple, very primitive. And therefore, those who do not use their brain oftentimes, they want to use their eyes. Their eyes. There are two ways. Allah says either you use your physical eyes or you use your brain. This is why in the Quran, always the brain comes before the eyes. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah that we gave them, those people who are mu'anid, the rebels who rebel against their prophets, they have a brains. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They don't use it. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ. They have physical eyes, but they don't see with it. So always the brain and the reason comes before the physical eyes. Because the eye is the vehicle to see, to understand. The eyes are the gate to the brain. We think with the brain, not with the eyes. The eyes, the ears, these are gates, passages that ends with the brain, the place of understanding and calculation is the brain. Allah says, do not depend on your eyes, use your brain. I have given you something better than eyes. Because sometimes there are people who are blind, they don't have eyes, but they are very smart. They are very intelligent. You know how many professors we have today? How many philosophers, how many authors we have today who are blind, physically blind. I know many of them, but they are very smart. Why? Because maybe they don't have eyes, but they have something more important than eyes. They have a brains. Qulub. They have a brains. So those primitive societies, they come to their prophets and they tell them, show me a physical miracle, a physical sign. If you don't show me this, I'm not going to buy into what you are telling me. I'm not going to believe in you as being the messenger of God. And even today, my friends, how many of the Muslims are using their brains? How many? You know, yesterday I received a clip, or a tweet actually, a tweet. They sent me a tweet. Someone who's from one of the Arab countries, I don't mention the name of that Arab country. He accepted the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. He was not Shia, he became Shia. He says, in my country, the vast majority of the people in my country, this is an Arab country in the heart of Middle East, in the very heart of Middle East, in the center of Middle East. He says, my people in my country, they believe that whoever in Shia countries, Shia societies, whoever whose name is Omar, they will slaughter him immediately. He says, in my country, they tell the people that Daesh and ISIS are made by Iran and Iraq, the Shias of Iran and the Shias of Iraq. And he said, true, I've been to that country. I've been to the marketplace, to the streets, I speak to the people. They have a twisted idea about Ahlul Bayt and Shia Islam. In this country, whose king, the king of that country, he says, I am the descendant of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the name of that country is the Hashemite country. There was a Shia scholar who happened to pass through the capital of that country. And it was the days of Ashura. So some Shia, they said to him, Mawlana, we have an apartment, private meeting. Can you give us a lecture about Imam Hussein? He said, sure. In a private place, in an apartment. The intelligence, Mukhabarat, they knew about this. They burst into that meeting. They capture him. They put him in jail for 40 days. I saw him when he was released from jail. And they released him from jail because he carries a European passport. Otherwise, if he had another passport, he would have been there for 40 years, not 40 days. Because people do not use their brain. If people use their brain, we have this problem today. So the problem of abandoning reason is not only an old problem. It's a contemporary one too. In many Muslim countries, Muslims, they survive on rumors, shai'at, not on facts, on shai'ah. Whatever they hear in the street, they believe. They don't analyze that with their mind. The other day I had a friend who told me here in the masjid. He said, until recently, before I converted to Shia Islam, until recently, I thought that the Nabi, the prophet of the Shias, is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because this is how they taught us, always in the school, in the market, outside, inside, in the family, that the prophet of the Shias is not Prophet Muhammad, is Imam Ali. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Allah says they don't use their reason. If they use their reason, we don't have to fight. 99 of our problems are going to be solved when we use aql and reason. This is why the Prophet says, "La dina liman la aql lah." On kaske aql nadarat din ham nadar. He does not have deen. He doesn't have deen because deen is based on what? On aql, on reason. The first thing deen tells me is use your brain. Think. I want you to think. I want you to think. So they would come to their prophets, وَيَقُولُونَ لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Quraysh would always argue. They come and defy the Prophet and they tell him, we need a sign. Every single day we need you to show us a miracle, a sign. They think that the Prophet has nothing to do but to create signs and perform miracles on a daily basis with every individual. In order for him to convince people to Islam, to bring them to Islam, he has to perform miracles. Allah says, no, this is not his job. First of all, because I don't want you to use your eyes to believe in me. I want you to use your brain. Yes, once in a while Allah says to Isa, Isa, use your miracle to resurrect the dead. Some people have doubt about you, use your miracle. Use your miracle to recover and heal the sick. Or Musa, at the time of a crisis and emergency, Allah said to Musa, I am giving you the power, the authority, that you hit the sea, it is going to get into two halves, will divide, so you can have a safe passage. It happens once in a while, but not on a daily basis. Why? It does not happen on a daily basis because it is counterproductive. Why it is counterproductive? Because Allah says, I want you to use your brain, not your eyes. The faith that comes through eyes is not a good faith. آنکس که میخواد ایمانش به خدا و به اسلام و به قرآن از طریق چشم بیاد، این دینش و اسلامش هیچ ارزشی ندارد. امروز میاد، فردا هم میره. Allah says, I want you to use your brain. Once you use your brain, then you're going to embrace it. Then you're going to be steadfast. Then you are not going to change your religion. You're not going to change your religion. I remember a lady brought her daughter here a while ago. She was 18 years old. And she said, this daughter converted to Catholicism. So please, I want you to speak to her. So I said to her, Ammujan, why did you choose Catholicism? She says, because I went to a youth retreat and they had nice food and nice dancing and singing and clapping, so I enjoyed it. So this is the right religion. I said to her, but if you go to the nightclub, they have even a much nicer dancing. Why don't you? So when someone does not use his brain, it's easy to leave his religion and go. There are much more religions that are more beautiful than Islam. In dancing, there are much more bigger cathedrals, buildings, costumes, you know. The other day I was here in a church of our friends, they invited me, just 3 weeks ago, here in Irvine. Believe me, the music band was so huge, and the dancing, you should have came and see the dancing. It moves everything. This is how they attract people. But Islam says we cannot understand God through dancing or through only music or poetry or these things. We have to understand Allah through reason. Reason. Aql. بالعقل يعرف الله ويوحد وبالعقل يعبد الله ويوحد. It is through reason. So they would come to their prophets every single day. They come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say to him, show me a miracle so I believe. Allah says, first of all, this is not his job. Even the Prophet cannot bring about a miracle without the permission of Allah. Miracles belong, first of all, to Allah. Second, even if he brings you a miracle, you still are going to reject him. Because they are not asking for a miracle to be guided. They are asking for a miracle to defy the Prophet, to defy him. Inad. They are challenging him. It's not about guidance. If it was about guidance, Allah will make the miracle for them. But Allah knows they are asking to defy the Prophet, to waste his time. It's about inad, stubbornness. And therefore Allah says, ويقولون, the Arabs, the pagans, ويقولون لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه. Why he doesn't perform? Ayah here means miracle. Sign means miracle here. Something extraordinary. For instance, if you read Surah Al-Kahf today, Haj Samir, may Allah bless him, he started with Surah Al-Kahf. In Surah Al-Kahf, they tell the Prophet, why kenz does not come down on you? Treasure trove, kenz. Let the angels bring a kenz. You know the kenz, treasure trove, huge box, full of jewelry, gold, silver, pearls, this and that, so we can believe that you are a true prophet. Alibaba. Okay? The Prophet says, I'm not Alibaba. You know, I'm the messenger of Allah. If you want to believe and accept my logic, I have logic. Logic is more powerful than kenz. More powerful. I'm using my logic. So Allah says, لولا أنزل عليه آية. They say, لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه. فقل, say to them, يا رسول الله, say to the Arabs, to the pagans, إنما الغيب لله. غيب here, in this context, it means miracle. Miracle. Only belongs to God. Whenever God decides, he will send it. Not the Prophet. And the Prophet is not going to waste his time with you, because even if he performs miracles, you still are going to reject him. You are not going to believe in him. فَانْتَظِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ. Allah says to the Prophet, say to them, wait, we shall see what will happen to you. And this is an indication to the punishment of Allah. Allah says, keep rejecting, no problem. Keep rejecting. You will see what will happen to you at the end. And I will wait, the Prophet says, you will wait until punishment comes, and I will wait until I see my victory. Of course, my friends, regarding the unseen, there is a debate between the Shias and the Sunnis. Most of the Sunnis, they say that the ghaib belongs only to Allah. And no one has an authority to understand the ghaib. The Shias say that ghaib definitely belongs to Allah, but Allah gives permission to certain people, selected people, to know the ghaib. He would enable them to know the ghaib. This is in Surah Al-Jinn. We have a chapter in this book called Surah Al-Jinn. Surah Al-Jinn, which is chapter 72, verse 27. Very easy. 72:27. Alimul ghaib. Allah says, he is only the knower of ghaib. Alimul ghaib. Allah is alimul ghaib. This is the meaning of the verse. Allah is alimul ghaib. Alimul ghaib. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He would not allow people to know his ghaib except. Accept, here accept is very important. Illa, illa in Arabic means accept. Magar, magar. Accept, man irtada min rasul, whoever he chooses of his messengers. Whenever Allah chooses, he's happy with Musa. He would tell Musa some of the ghaib. Or the Khidr, or Isa, or other prophets. And Rasul does not mean only messenger like Nabiha. Rasul, it could be the Imam. Rasul, it means whoever Allah selects to deliver his message. Sometimes it's a messenger like Noah, like Abraham. Sometimes he's al-Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. So this is the debate. Sometimes they ask you that you, the Shias, you say that your imams, they know the ghaib. But Allah only knows the ghaib. Read this verse for them. 72:27. This is the proof in this book, in the Holy Quran. We bring our proofs always from this book, not from another book. Everything we say, it has roots in this holy book. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا النَّاسَ رَحْمَةً مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُمْ إِذَا لَهُمْ مَكْرٌ فِي آيَاتِنَا قُلِ اللَّهُ أَسْرَعُ مَكْرًا. Allah says the nature of the non-believers, not the believers, non-believers, is that they turn their thoughts to God at the time of adversity, at the time of troubles. Whenever they are in a trouble, oh God, help me please. I have no one other than you. Whenever there is poverty, whenever there is sickness, whenever there is loneliness, whenever there is accident, whenever there is flood, earthquake, they turn to God. But as soon as it passes, the adversity, the test passes by, it's over. Not only the Quran says, not only they turn away from God, they start defying God too. They start telling him, who said I want you? I don't want you. I don't even believe in you. This is their nature. At the time of need, they turn to God. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. At that time there were no airplanes, there were ships. Once they board these ships, and then there is a huge current, moat, and then they start turning to God. Oh, please God. They all pray. At that time, alhamdulillah, everyone prays. Salat, 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 salat. But as soon as it goes back to normal, they go back to the bottle of wine, champagne. Have you seen them in these cruise ships? One time I saw a documentary. At the time of turbulence, the sea was rough, terrible, they started praying. All of them, they started praying. Then after that it was calm, there was party and dancing and drinking. Same people, 2 hours later. They defy God. This is the nature of the non-believers. While the believers, they have a steady relationship with God. Study relationship, not seasonal. Not today he worship and tomorrow he forgets. This is why we have 5 daily prayers, because we need God daily, hourly. Some people say, aren't you tired 5 times a day? No, I'm not tired because I need God. I really need him. I need to speak to him 5 minutes. I need him. I need him at the time of health as well as at the time of sickness. I need him at the time of richness as well as the time of poverty. I need him at the time of loneliness as well as when I am with my family and my friends. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our relationship with God should be steady relationship, always. This is the healthy relationship. This is the healthy relationship that we are always with him. Always with him. We don't disconnect with him. Then Allah says, وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا النَّاسَ رَحْمَةً مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّا. When we make them test ease and salvation and mercy after ضَرَّا. ضَرَّا is adversity or calamity or bad time. إِذَا مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّا أَمَسَّتْهُمْ إِذَا لَهُمْ مَكْرٌ فِي آيَاتِنَا. They turn against us. They turn against God. Say to them, remind them, Ya Rasulullah, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَسْرَعُ مَكْرًا. What does makr mean, my friends? Makr has, in Arabic and Farsi, the same meaning. Makr means secret plotting or planning. When someone is planning against you in secrecy, you don't know. Sometimes you don't know, your friend, someone in the communities, an outsider, a neighbor, he's planning to destroy you. And you don't know, you are the last one to know. This is called makr. Allah says those who are secretly planning against us, we will also secretly plan against them. How does that work? Allah says, my makr, this is the makr of God. The makr of Allah is not a bad person. Allah does not want to destroy. But Allah says, for those who are bad and those who insist on their evil, they will see the punishment coming to them suddenly. All of a sudden. Of course, Allah will give them time and respite. Maybe years, maybe decades. Allah is not very fast in His punishment. But then they forget about their crimes. They are enjoying their time with their friends, with their families. All of a sudden, boom. Allah sends His punishment. This is the meaning of makr. When He sends the punishment, He will send it without what? Tell me, without warning. Without warning. This is the meaning of makr. Sometimes people know the punishment is coming in 2 days, in 3 days, in 5 days. And sometimes Allah says, I would not let you know. At the peak of your joy, I'm going to strike. At the peak of your joy. You see my punishment coming. قُلِ اللَّهُ أَسْرَعُ مَكْرًا. Beside, Allah says, إِنَّ رُسُلَنَا. Rasulana here, not the messengers, prophets. Rasulana here is whom? Huh? Help me. Malaika, the angels are also, the malaika are also messengers. Messengers. Inna Rasulana yaktubuna ma tamkurun. Everything you plot, you plan against God and against the community of God, which is people, they are going to record that. Today, my friends, is the 22nd of the month of Muharram. On the 25th of this month is the anniversary of the martyrdom of the fourth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam al-Sajjad, Imam Zain al-Abidin, is well known for many of moral virtues. And I want just to spend 3-4 minutes to conclude about his life. One of his traits and fada'il and virtues is that he would help the community members secretly, not openly. Secretly. He dedicated his life. He was in Medina after the tragedy of Karbala. He was 23 years old on the day of Ashura. And he is the only survival, male survival, in the camp of Imam Hussein. And this is the design of Allah. So the imamah would continue. And he was almost murdered in Karbala, almost murdered. Many historians, they say he was even wounded on that day. But Allah saved his life. Again, in Kufa, Ibn Ziyad, Ubaydullah Ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, he wanted to murder him in Kufa. Lady Zainab protected him. She said to him, if you want to kill my nephew, kill me first. Of course, Allah protected him. Again, in the session of Yazid in Damascus, he was about to murder him. But Allah wanted to save this leader to be the continuation of the imamah and the khilafah after Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And therefore, he led the imamah 34 years after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. He lived for almost 57 years. Altogether, Imam Zain al-Abidin lived for 57 years. So, after the tragedy of Karbala, Ahlul Bayt came back to the city of Medina, to their home. And he started doing many things. He started teaching people, educating people, because there was a problem with the Muslims. Muslims, they used to fast, they used to pray, but at the same time, they were willing to murder the grandson of their prophet. What sort of community is this? A community who's in the adhan, in the salat, they say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But at the same time, imagine, subhanallah, what do you call this? I don't know. I can't find a term to describe this. They do the salah, they believe. They believe he's the grandson of the Prophet, but yet they are willing to murder him. Something wrong with the Muslims. Even today, we have something wrong with the Muslims. Otherwise, we would not have Daesh being supplied with weapons and with money. And most Arab governments, they support them. They help them. There is problem with the Muslim community, with the Muslim mentality. There is a problem today, not with Islam, with Muslims. Because Muslims were raised wrongly, not rightly. When they follow the wrong leadership, this is the result. The result is Al-Qaeda. The result is ISIS. The result is terrorism. Okay? Besides his educational campaign, Imam Zain al-Abidin, he focused on social work at the same time. So he would carry the food in a bag, huge bag. And in the dark, at that time there were no street lights. So after sunset, half an hour after sunset, becomes dark. He will carry the food on his shoulder, and he distributes this food to the people of Medina, Fuqara'ul Medina. Many of them did not even recognize him. When they get the food, they don't know this is Ibn Rasulullah. This is Khalifatullah. This is the fourth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Hussein. They don't recognize him. He would cover his face. And he would emphasize something that we have to learn our friends. And that is صدقه السر. ما دو رقم صدقه داریم. یکی خداوند میفرماید بدید صدقه بدید. بذارید مردم هم بدونن که تشویق بشن. اونا هم بدن. این خوبه. ولی یه صدقه هم داریم که نباید کسی بدن. صدقه السر. امام زین العابدین he emphasized the second type of صدقه. The صدقه that you give in secret, why? To keep the honor of the people. Because when you come to someone and you give him money, you give him medicine, you give him clothing, it might hurt his or her honor. People have honor. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, I will give the food, the money, all these things without them knowing me. One day someone came to him in the middle of the street asking for some help. Imam gave him money, and Imam himself, he covered himself, his face, Imam. So he doesn't see the man. He does not recognize him. And he would say, صَدَقَةُ السِّرْ تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ. Allahu Akbar. صَدَقَةُ السِّرْ. When you give in secrecy, in a private, you don't let anyone to know, it is going to extinguish the anger of God. صدقه سر امام میفرماید پنهان وقتی که میدهید صدقه سر خشم خدا را چیکار میکنه خاموش میکند یعنی خدا خشم داره روی این شخص روی این خانواده یه کارایی کردن انجام دادن حالا چطور این خشم خدا را خاموش کنن صدقه سر را میدن به طوری که کسی متوجه نشه He taught people ikhlas Besides sadaqatu sir, when you give privately, you're going to nurture yourself spiritually. You're going to crush. We have ego. We have something here dangerous. It's called ego. Ego. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, when you help privately, no one knows, you are crushing your what? Your ego. And once the ego is crushed, you grow. Spiritually you grow. You get closer to Allah. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم I saw in the news today that people before the beginning of Safar, they started their journey to Karbala for the Arba'een. Those Ushaq of Imam Hussein, those who love Imam Hussein, Imam Husseinism, their blood and their heart and their cells, they started this journey. How many weeks before the Arba'een? Almost 1 month. They started their journey full of love, full of energy, enthusiasm, to march towards the shrine of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Hussein. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik wa anakhat birahlik. Bifarmik.